receiving a handheld right now. And hello, 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 hello. Can we have our scribes on board? Good afternoon, scribes. Can you please confirm that you're hearing me? Is that the scribes or... Good afternoon, scribes. Can you please confirm if you are hearing me? Hello, hello. Hello, hello. Hello, Los Angeles. Please come in. Buenos Aires calling. I don't know. Chuck, are you texting the scribes?
Yeah.
All right. Hello, scribes. Can you please confirm if you are receiving audio? We're not seeing any typing appear here. Trying. He's typing. Well, not. We don't know if they're even listening yet. Hello, scribes. Could you confirm if you're please receiving me? What was that look for, Chuck? I'm not sure. Was that to tell me that you'd heard from them?
No. Yeah, I'm just still talking.
Well, if they hear me and they've got an open channel, I'm sure they'll type. Scribes, it's starting to become a little bit of a concern here in Buenos Aires. We're starting to sweat into our socks to see if you're actually going to write something back. Scribes. Wow, what has Obama done? Has he actually done something? Hello, scribes. Please come in.
It's not supposed to be coming out here, is it?
Huh?
No. Your test.
Hey. Hey, 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, hang on. Okay, stand by. Something's going on. Sends on fader. Let's do. Hey. Hey. It's up and on. What the hell? Hey. Select. Supposed to be pre. Hello, scribes, can you please confirm if you're receiving me? Scribes, can you please confirm if you're receiving me? Thank you very much. Bye.
We're about ready to start. Can we have the topics put up, please? Fantastic. Thank you. Welcome, everybody. This is the meeting of the registry constituency meeting with the board in the experimental new format that we're trying out here of having a selected set of people from the registries and a handful of board members engaging in some lively and spirited discussion of a selected set of topics. We'll look for feedback later on whether you like this or hate this or know how to improve it or whatever you think about it. Let me just immediately turn things over to Keith. I guess I should say we have Renalia, Asha, and Mike, and Erica sitting here with me. And I'll try to be as quiet as I can and let the others speak. Keith?
Okay. Thank you very much, Steve. Hi, everybody. Keith Drazik, Chair of the Registry Stakeholder Group. I'm joined here at the moment by Paul Diaz, Chuck Gomes, Jordan Buchanan. We will have a couple of other folks, I think, join us as we go, depending on the topic we're discussing. Thank you very much for this opportunity, and thank you for suggesting that we take a sort of a unique new approach. I think this is an exciting change. We'll see how it goes, of course, but you know, always up for trying something new. So on the screen, you'll see that we had submitted three items for discussion, and when we were asked to submit our ideas, it was about 6 weeks ago, and these were sort of the hot topics of our day at the time, and I think they're still very relevant. If the board would like to introduce any additional topics, we would certainly be open and certainly welcome that. So the first item on our agenda will be related to operational issues as customers and consumers of ICANN's services. The registries, as contracted parties, have unique concerns, and maybe not entirely unique because I think the registrars share some of our concerns, but that's an item we'll want to talk about. The next item is budgeting. The high-level point on this one is to ensure that the ICANN divisions that we interact with and rely upon every day are adequately resourced to accomplish their mission. And the third bullet item was sort of a placeholder for IANA transition and ICANN accountability. I understand that you've had many, many conversations about that already today. We recognize that IANA transition and ICANN accountability are ongoing work streams. The expectation and hope is the CWG transition proposal will be approved this week, and that the CCWG accountability will continue its heavy lifting this week with two more working sessions Wednesday and Thursday. So I think our thought is that if there's anything you would like to talk about related to IANA transition or ICANN accountability, we can, but it's not the number one topic for us. And if you have something you'd like to add to the agenda, we would be willing to move this one down or off. So we'll just leave that. It was simply a placeholder at the time that we submitted. So maybe I'll pause there and see if anybody has any comments or questions. Okay. So I'm going to tee up the first issue and then ask my colleagues to weigh in with more specific examples or discussion points, and then we really would like this to be a dialogue. We're not here to, you know, simply, you know, make points. We really would like to engage in conversation. So the registries, and particularly the new GTLD registries, which are now the majority of the registry stakeholder group, have some fairly substantial concerns about operational issues and operational performance. I think the most recent and concerning one was the data breach issue, and there's a list of others to include Trademark Clearinghouse and a number of other examples. So our concern, and I'll just tee this up and then move to others, is that as customers of the GDD and of ICANN, we rely on the services you provide. And we need to have predictability and the ability to rely on those services But it's more than just operational. It's also a matter of communications and how issues are dealt with when they arise. As operational entities, we all know that things happen, despite sometimes our best efforts. So it's a question of how we cooperate and collaborate and communicate when things do come up. Of course, we would love to work with ICANN and the GDD and the various divisions to ensure that through collaboration and working together, we're able to try to prevent the issues from arising in the first place. But this is a bit more broad than that. We really do want to talk about the communication aspect. So with that, maybe I will pause and see if anybody would like to weigh in from the registries or if any board members or staff would like to weigh in. Thank you.
I can jump in, Keith. Please, Steve, go ahead.
Well, I think we've been watching this stuff from the board level and have some quite strong feelings about it. Rahm has been perhaps closest to it as co-chair of the risk committee and heavily knowledgeable technically. Do you want to say something about the where we stand on these things, both the reaction to the breach immediately and the longer term?
Thank you. Both Mike and I are here. We're both co-chairs of the risk committee. When the breach, and it's not just the breach, right? There's been a series of issues that have come up. They've been disclosed. There are two or three things that I wanted to point out. First is that ICANN, the organization, and the staff have taken a clear position that when these kinds of events occur, that they be disclosed and disclosed in as expeditious a way as possible. That's a basic principle that we've adopted. The second thing is that the board risk committee, these kinds of issues are now systematically in front of the board risk committee, not just the individual issues, because these things operationally, they come and they go, but the larger issue that the board risk committee is focused on and is looking at are questions about whether there are systemic problems underlying these kinds of occurrences, and looking at what kind of security architecture, what kind of work process exists in place at ICANN. The reality is that over the last few years, ICANN has rolled out a large number of services on a variety of platforms, and there is now, prompted by specific attention from the risk committee and from others on the board, there is now a clear plan that is being put in place. It's not in execution mode yet, but there's a plan in place to work on platform consolidation, as well as having external third-party review of multiple aspects of operational security, starting with the basic things of penetration testing, things like that. But in addition to that, to looking at what kind of processes exist for creation of services and products by ICANN and the rollout of those, making sure that on the people side that there are the right kind of staff as well as consultants brought in. We had noticed that in the past there was perhaps not as many in-house staff with the level of expertise that might be relevant to address these kinds of concerns. We've raised that, and staff have a plan in place to both increase in the number of people who are there, but also increase in terms of the skill level and the skill set. So it's senior level people who have a strong experience. So in short form, there's a focus from the board risk committee directed with staff, with regular updates, with focus on process, on people, on the products and the services that are being rolled out, as well as what is the security architecture that is in place. So that's at the high level. Specific to this breach and other such issues, for the most part, what the board is looking at is ensuring that there is adequate attention placed on these issues, and that the communication and the presentation of information is provided as quickly as possible. There is one small piece there that we end up balancing, and all of us who are in the registries area understand this. There is the balance between how much you disclose versus how much you disclose, right? I mean, it depends on what are you trying to achieve. And the intention is to disclose information about breaches or about vulnerabilities, to disclose what actions are being taken to address that specific issue, and also what actions are being taken to ensure that similar breaches do not occur in the future. Sometimes you will find that there is not enough, or there's not a great depth of information about that specific thing, but that has to do sometimes with operational concerns than anything else.
Thank you very much, Ram. That was...
I'm just trying to get Steve's attention. Oh.
Okay.
Thank you, Ram.
Paul wanted to talk, and Keith is in charge.
Okay. So I'll take a cue here, but thank you, Ram. That was very helpful. I think one of the questions that had previously come up in registry stakeholder group discussions was around wanting to ensure that the board was informed, aware, responsible for, you know, sort of managing these types of instances. And your comments about the board risk committee, I think, are very encouraging in that regard. I think that's very helpful. I also wanted to note, and I apologize, I forgot at the beginning, but we had a call 2 weeks ago, one of our regular biweekly registry stakeholder group calls, where Ashwin and Akram both joined us to talk about this specific issue. And I found that call to be very informative, very encouraging. And so I wanted to note that we have had previous conversations about this. And I personally came away from that conversation feeling a lot better than I had before. So just wanted to note that for the record. So let me stop there and see if any of my colleagues would like to weigh in. Paul, and then Jordan and Erica, did you want to get in the queue?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks, Keith and all. Paul Diaz from PIR. Want to take it in a little bit of a different direction and focus on the communication aspect. Keith just made the point. We are very appreciative of GDD extra effort, in particular over the last year, to be more communicative. We have biweekly calls, and staff regularly makes themselves available for interaction. We've had special calls with Ashwin, had special calls with Steve and Bruce to address an issue. You know, so there's a level of communication that exists. It's improved over the last year. We hope it keeps improving further still. What I'd like to focus on, though, is something that came up this morning. Make sure that the board's aware. When we talk about some of the solutions to these operational issues that have arisen, we on the contracted party side of the house get the feeling that some of the solutions are developed by ICANN for ICANN. Staff is solving an ICANN problem. ICANN's broader than just what the staff's needs are. If it relates to the UGDD portal, and we were updated, there's efforts underway to revamp, to improve, to strengthen GDD portal. One thing that came out, you know, we realized we are the primary consumer of that portal. And so under the initiative of better communications, wouldn't it make more sense to be more collaborative with the customers that the portal is meant to serve? Recognizing there are limits to that, but hey, we're under contract already. Potentially we could sign NDA, but there is an awful lot of expertise, technical knowledge, operational know-how with the same software that you all are using. Why not leverage it? Work with the community, in this case the contracted party, part of the community that you're serving. We're your customers. We want to get it right, because if we wait until a solution is developed by staff and presented, we're too far down the road. ICANN's made a big investment. It's very hard to adjust certain things, or if bugs or other glitches are identified, they become these big problems that in turn will boil up to the board. So I guess what I'm asking is for the board to understand, communications are good, But I would hope that there's continued interest and pressure from the board to ask, well, what are you doing in interacting with the end users, with the customers? In this case, the contracted parties, specifically about GDD Portal.
Okay, thanks, Paul. And I think maybe what we'll do is, if there's interest in speaking, we'll alternate between stakeholder group and board members. So, Jordan, if you'll hold on a second. Erica, you're next.
Yeah, thank you so much, Keith. I hear some frustration. Taking from the frustration, I understand that the way the communication channel worked wasn't sufficient, and you would have expected a different way of communicating. Now, when you look and you even a deeper involvement in solving the problem, which I understand, looking forward, what are your three recommendations, or two, or one?
So I'll take a first. Yes, Akram, go ahead.
Can I just address Paul's issue? So, Paul, as we mentioned in the registry stakeholder group meeting this morning, there is a user group on the portal that is formed by the registry team that's been going on for about almost a year now, where we're getting feedback on how your needs for the portal and what we're going to do next. The roadmap on the portal has been delayed slightly because of the issues that we've had, and we've articulated that to the registry stakeholder group, and we will continue to work with you on the development and the feature set as we've been in the past. So I hope that I think I want to I want to make sure that the frustration is out explained where it really is. It's not that we're not engaging with you on the definition of the portal, but it is that we've delayed the roadmap on the portal because of the issues that we've been dealing with to secure the portal first and then move on with the changes. Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you, Akram. Again, for the transcript, this is Keith. Erica, I think sort of at a high level, and we could probably come up with many bullet points of recommendations, but I think at a high level, I think as the organization, as ICANN is evaluating a problem, right? Let's just say we have an operational issue and reacting to it, I would ask and recommend that the direct customers or consumers of the service impacted be considered at least on the top line, maybe sharing the top line with other concerns like just general PR and damage control and the things that you always have to worry about when you've got an operational issue that becomes public. But I think the customers, the direct customers, those that are impacted, and particularly if it's a registry, because there's a ripple effect, a trickle down in that if it impacts the registry, it probably impacts the registrar and may impact the registrant, depending on the nature of the issue. And so I would just, I think, recommend that as the organization is reacting to an issue or events, that it remember that the customer is on the front line and needs to be considered in that regard. And maybe that's already happening, but I think that's just a thing that, at a high level, at a sort of principled level, we'd like to see. And maybe I can ask Jordan if he's got any further thoughts.
Yeah, it's Jordan Buchanan from Google, for the record. And I don't actually have thoughts on this communication topic in particular. Erica, you have a good, specific, concrete question, and I don't have a very good, specific, concrete answer for you. But I do think if we take a step back for a minute, I think there's a lot, we can find a lot of places where, if you want, registries can come and complain at you and tell you on specific, on the portal, here's the five things you would fix, and on, the assignment process, these are the two things we do, and invoicing, these are the three. But, I mean, hopefully you guys don't view that as a great use of your time and how we should be interacting with the board. I think instead what we need to do is step back and think about, like, why is this happening? Why are registries frustrated? Because I think there is a lot of frustration, and you see a lot of reactions that, along the lines of, like, it's not fair, right? Like, we have SLAs. Why don't you guys have SLAs? Why do you guys let us down? And that's, I think, just a reactive argument to a certain extent, but it's reflecting the fact that we feel like we're not getting the levels of service that we expect. And I think part of that comes from maybe differing definitions of operational excellence. I know Fadi has talked about operational excellence a lot, and I think, you know, I'm a big believer in the fact that you get what you measure. And if you look at, like, the presentations we get from staff, and it makes total sense, they're full of numbers about throughput, basically, right? And so from a certain perspective, that's operational excellence, making sure you can deal with all these new registries and having checklists and procedures and stuff like that. That is part of operational excellence. But another really important part of it is, like, what's the quality that's being delivered behind that? Is it making customers happy? Is it easy to use? All of that stuff. And that's not very well captured in the current set of metrics that we have today. So I saw that the GDD is planning on starting to do more customer satisfaction surveys and attaching that to individual cases. All that's really important, and I think that needs to be tied to the objectives of the GDD as well, and how their success is measured is based on how, you know, how happy are they making their customers, how easy it is. Is it, like, we want to pay you money, but the person who handles invoicing for us on our side came to this meeting with six issues that makes it hard for us to pay you, right? And so, like, that should be the easiest thing in the world is I want to pay you money, but you know, you're making it hard. And those sorts of things, like, we should be in a mode where we're measuring quality and not just throughput.
Okay, thank you, Jordan. Steve, you're next.
Thank you. When this incident became known, I was drawn into a call quite rapidly, and I just wanted to share the things that went through my mind. I could see that there were three things that were competing for immediate attention. One was, of course, getting control of the system, buttoning it up. Another was finding out what the damage was and investigating how broad the incident was. And the third, which was, I say last on purpose because I want to emphasize it, not because it was the least, was communication. And we had a vigorous discussion over a few minutes and discussed the sequence of things. And if I recall correctly, I felt very strongly that we had to be careful not to delay the communication any longer than absolutely necessary. So there are some alternatives in this. And I think, if I recall correctly, I came down pretty hard on the side of let's get it out quickly, lest we create a bigger problem than we had already. There was a fourth thing that was also competing for attention, which was, I have to edit my words to eliminate the swear words. Why were we in this position, and what do we do? What's the root cause of being in this position? But that's a that's an agenda item for how do we make sure that we change our internal processes. What do we have to do in terms of processes, people, and so forth? And I felt very strongly about that, and that's underway, which Ram also mentioned. But in terms of immediate actions, those three things compete for attention, and it's kind of awkward. Everybody who's been in an operational position, like you've suggested, has to contend with those things all of that need attention right now, and you've got to go in three directions at once. And so it's a little bit hard, but that's what we get paid for, right? So you just do it. And but the communication is a first-class item. It is on the top line.
Hey, thanks very much, Steve. I think anecdotally, I recall in the discussions among the registries, there was some frustration in this particular instance expressed about more information, whether it was accurate or not, or quoted, or being available through blogs and in the media, and where the registries felt like we were still waiting for an explanation. So there was, you know, a quote or a statement or something that appeared to be public, and we didn't have the information that we needed. Just one anecdote about an example that may be an illustration. I think it's important to note that when we talk about communication and collaboration, you know, it's really, there's two parts to that. One is, let's collaborate and communicate well up front to avoid problems, you know, to make sure that we're working together closely to minimize these types of issues where possible. And then it's a question of, if something happens, let's make sure that we're communicating clearly and concisely and as early as possible. I think those are the two messages that I think are very much related. So, Fadi, yes.
Okay. Thank you, Keith. First of all, thanks for your input and feedback. But please, no more platitudes. If there are issues, we need lists. I cannot take more, we don't know, your quality's not good, you don't care. give me a list. You gave me an excellent list last year. How many items were on it, Keith? 46. How many are still open? 3. We're closing them. This is good. But coming to a form like this and throwing up your quality is not there. Let's go to real numbers, real facts, lists, and we'll address them. But this team is committed to serve you well. There's no question about that. This shouldn't be questioned. We are doing our best. You gave us a list of things where, frankly, remember how much I was very appreciative of that list, because it's different from platitudes and just general statements of unhappiness. We served you well on that list, and we communicated to you regularly on how we're fixing these things, and you've told me we've done well on that. Let's do the same. If you have new issues, give us a new list. Let's renew it. But operationally, we don't speak platitudes. We speak numbers, facts, SLAs, issues that you want us to fix, and I will commit to you that we will fix them, and we'll get back to you. As to communications, again, many general comments about not good enough communications. This data breach was an extremely complex situation. It had legal ramifications because some members of your community also had done certain things. So we could not easily just tweet about it. We had to go through a process. Some people on this team didn't sleep for a couple of nights preparing letters of communications to the community. So we make sure everybody gets the right letter with the right information, with what was breached, when it was breached, by whom. This is complex stuff. So I'm going to ask Christine in 2 minutes to go through the steps they went through to communicate this, and then back to specifics, I'd like some specific guidance from you on what we could have done better.
Christine Millette. So, speaking of the most recent Salesforce incident, which began on February 27th, 2015, within an hour or two of being notified of the issue, the team confirmed that the system did indeed have a vulnerability and the system was taken offline. We communicated to the anyone who accessed the portal or attempted to access the portal by putting up a non-availability system out for maintenance page. On Tuesday morning, the system was restored and communication went out to all of the contracted parties that the system access had been restored. We provided regular updates every week to 2 weeks as we continued to investigate the issue. We shared information about gathering of log data, the analysis of log data, the parties we engaged to assist us in that effort. At the end of March, we committed to a April 27th date to communicate to both affected parties and the those who had access data. So we committed to a date, and then we followed that up, and we committed that full information would then be disclosed on May 27th. And
we did happen one of those days.
We met those dates, we set dates, and we met every one of those communication milestones.
Okay, thank you, Christine. Ashwin?
I'd also like to take the opportunity to sensitize the degree of effort that is involved in looking at log files. We received well over a billion records with a B, and we had to go through that literally filtering it down from that vast number to the critical few that really were indicative of that specific problem having been encountered, and then to ascertain how that problem had been encountered, whether it was by happenstance or whether there was something going on that we needed to be more aware of so that we had other potential windows and doors that had to be closed. That is a process that has to be gone through with rigor. we were informing and keeping you informed of the steps that we were taking, but we couldn't compress the timeline any more than we did. When we announced the dates ahead of time, the only alternative we were left with is to extend the workday. And that's precisely what we did with staff. There are multiple weekends, as I look back, when there were no weekends and there were no days and nights. Because we had to go through this extraordinary volume looking back 2 years. I just wanted to make sure that that dimension is understood. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ashwin. Ram, you were next in queue, then Jordan.
Thank you. I think this incident is a pretty good example of the need for a protocol that really has to be built. We're learning how to do this, and I can say that if I was a registry, which I am actually, but if I was wearing that hat and listening to what I was hearing, what I would probably say is, we understand there's a great deal of effort, but what we need is some level of a protocol that allows us to understand and get some visibility, whatever you're able to, some level of visibility into what you're doing and what the potential impact might be on me as a registry, right? And that's, but I don't want to take the time and the oxygen here to discuss this specific case. As operational communities, we're going to have lots more cases like this, some much worse than this, potentially, right? That's just in the nature of the beast. And my suggestion is that between the registries and staff, what we should do is sit down and get together and say, what is a protocol and what are the places where what can we share? What would you like to get shared? Let's work on that. I think that is really the way forward to move. We've got the regular registry calls, et cetera, but these are the kinds of things that may spark an extraordinary event, some sort of an escalation process, and perhaps that is what we should focus our energy on here.
Okay. Thank you, Ram. Jordan?
Yeah, to agree with Ram and to get back to the point Fadi made about lists, I think, you know, what we're perfectly happy as an operational community to make sure that we get continuous feedback to you guys, if that would be helpful. And we just need to figure out, I guess, the model to engage and prioritize with you so you don't just get like a, you know, giant list of 4,000 things that we might care about. You know, I still think, independent of that, it is good to get back to sort of making sure that we create a framework that's going to encourage mutual success. Right now that we just look at how many items are on the list, but how important they are to people and what's actually driving customer satisfaction. The other thing I wanted to bring up, to move away from the data breach to a second, to another incident where communication I think broke down a little bit, and would be a good example of what Keith was talking about earlier, of people sort of like saying, why am I hearing from blogs and from the news and not from ICANN? There was the TMDB outage recently, and I think registries had sort of asked, like, why did that happen? Could you let us know more about? And the response was basically, oh, we're working with IBM, we'll get back to you. And before individual registries ever got a response, ICANN had made statements to various bloggers, like I think Domain Insight or something, had a statement from ICANN long before registries got a response. So I think that's the sort of place where we're expecting. Well, I'm glad to share the specific information with you, but I think I can back that up with with some evidence. And that's the sort of thing where we don't want to have disparate levels of communication with the, you know, with your customers versus what's going on out to the press.
Okay, Akram?
Just if I may, I don't know about this incident. I would like to get the information on that. On the other incident, it's important to note on the communication that happened at that level was public communication, and then there was private communication with particular parties who were affected. Those particular parties chose to actually send that confidential information, make it public. We can't prevent people from doing that. So I think it's important to differentiate between the two. We did not mean to give parties more information than others. We did everything in public, and then the specifics of that affected specific parties were confidential to them, and they chose to actually leak it. So some things maybe are our fault, but not everything is our fault. So I hope that.
Okay, thank you, Akram. And just noting the time, we probably need to move on to the next topic in a moment. But maybe just sort of an observation. I think the message that we wanted to come in here with was let's work closer together or more closely together to try to either enhance our collaboration and communication to minimize the problems. If we can, or to make, for example, the portal that was referenced earlier, if we can engage with GDD early in the process, then we think the end result will be better, and that communicating concerns after the fact is a positive thing. I want to note that since last year we've had, and Fadi, you're absolutely right, that the letter that we sent was, very strongly addressed, and we certainly welcome that. And over the last year, we've actually had an ongoing scorecard of concerns and questions and issues that has been, I think, very constructively handled. There are still issues that we're working through, understandably so. It's, I think, been a very effective tool, though, and the GDD staff has been very responsive in most of the areas that we're concerned about. So, we're not here to necessarily try to tear down or criticize. There's actually a lot of good things going on. Ben, we continue, we expect that to continue. And we are here to say we want to do our part where we can. So with that, the next item on our agenda was a discussion about budgeting. And I think related to the issues that we've just discussed, we as contracted parties and those that contribute substantially to ICANN's revenues on behalf of the registrars and registrants and ourselves, we want to make sure that the services that we rely on are adequately funded and appropriately funded. I think Paul and Chuck will speak more specifically to actually the significant progress we've seen in financial reporting and planning and budget planning, the visibility that we have now into the process. We're very encouraged by that. But I think to boil it down, we want to make sure that the services on which we rely are adequately funded, not just today, but for sort of the evolution of the systems. And that's resources for staff, for infrastructure, capital expense, all the things that go into making a service delivery organization reliable. So why don't I stop there, see if Chuck or Paul would like to weigh in, and then if anybody else. Thank you.
Thanks, Keith, and thanks for this time. A key word that I heard in the previous discussion was collaboration. And I want to start by saying that there has been very good collaboration with regard to budget. Over many years, but it has really come to fruition this year, this budget cycle. For the first time, the draft budget was published early enough for the communities to submit comments and for those comments to be acted on and adjustments made to the draft budget before the board acted on it. So, great kudos to Xavier and the whole finance team. In fact, the whole organization, because I know all of you input information on that. So the collaboration is working there. And I look down at the third sub-bullet there on forecasting. It's also working there. There was a special four-hour meeting in the evening in Singapore where preliminary forecasts were reviewed by a group of the finance team and community members, not just registries, not just GNSO. And we caught some things that we thought, this probably is a little too aggressive. Those were adjusted as a result of working together. So I think the collaboration is working. look forward to continually working together on that going forward on these other areas. But let me stop there and let Paul jump in.
Okay, Chuck, thank you. Absolutely concur, and kudos are well deserved on the part of Safia and his finance team to try and bridge what we started with, our first issue in this one, this data breach. A lot of talk about it, but let's go back to the root problem. Why did the breach happen in the first place? Some point in the not so distant past, the system was misconfigured. How did that happen? Well, we can sum it up and just say resources. Inappropriate resources. And so we've heard from GDD staff that there will be appropriate resources applied now. Again, the strengthening of the portal, the other things. I still believe that there is an active role that members of your contracted party community can play in assisting you in troubleshooting this and at least bouncing ideas off. And again, the offer is there. If it needs to be under NDA, that's fine as well. The board will be asked, the board will approve the budget. So the question is fiscal 16 budget will have resources made available to do these sorts of things. But of the collaborative nature that we're looking for, and for the forecasting effort moving forward, if we refer back to ATRT2's recommendations, finance team's done a great job in delivering on a lot of the recommendations. But the one that's still to come is further work on a true budgeting process. We heard about KPIs are going to be developed, some benchmarking efforts, all of which is very good. It will take time. In the interim, rely on the community, work with the community. What we did, what Chuck referred to in Singapore, we should continue to do. And hopefully, these will help us avoid the sorts of embarrassments that we had back in the April-May timeframe. Can't mitigate for every contingency. But some of those things, some of these issues that we've had probably could have been addressed had there been more cooperation, collaboration with the community, with the end users of these services earlier on.
Thank you, Paul. Steve?
I want to thank you for your kind words about the improvements in the budget process. Fadi and Xavier and the whole team have worked very hard on this to try to recarve all of this so that the timing is better, so that the communication is better. There's another element that I also wanted to bring to the surface here and sample your opinion about. We have a discussion taking place primarily in the Finance Committee about how to manage the reserve fund. So the basic structure is we have a reserve fund. We have not yet set a formal target for it, and we are still in the process of trying to figure out the rationale and structure that would lead to all that. One of the elements of that discussion is, suppose that the target that we set, there's a separate question as whether we ever have enough money to get to that, but let's suppose the target that we set is a noticeably large figure. How much pushback will there be from the community of saying, why are you holding all that money instead of spending it in some way that we want? And the answer would be, of course, because it's precisely to make sure that the services that we've guaranteed to everybody are provided for. So I wanted to flag in advance that we could get caught in a dialogue in which we're trying to do precisely the thing that has been suggested, and yet may get criticized for holding on to all this money instead of spending it for something else. So I wanted to start that dialogue, and you know, if you want to respond to it, fine, but I wanted to begin to socialize that, because at the end of the day, we're going to choose. We're going to do what the community says, but we want an informed discussion. We want to put the issues clearly in front, and we wanted to share with you that that's the nature of what we think about. We think about both the immediate and we think about the long term and the stability issues, and then try to find a strategy in there, and then do that with full visibility to everybody.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. Chuck?
Thanks, Steve. And you know, we have a real live example in this, in the budget that's in front of us right now, of the reserve fund. The plan is, because we have so many unknowns that are critical, We all know the two big issues, the IANA transition and the accountability work, where we really can't accurately predict right now total cost. There's some funds set aside for that. But and Xavier and his team were very clear in our budget meetings that these funds that aren't part of the regular predicted operational revenue for the year are coming out of the reserve fund. So I think we're going to learn and even obtain some metrics with regard to the use of the reserve fund. That won't be the same every year, of course, but I think after this year, and it'll probably be a few months down the road, but we're going to have some real live history to show how important the reserve fund is. And it's not that the reserve fund should just be big enough to cover those things. I think the community understands that you need to have this reserve fund in case there's significant changes in revenue or something. So very good question, Steve. And I think we're going to, over the next year, have even more data to help not only you but the community understand the value of that fund.
Okay. Thank you, Chuck. Shireen?
First of all, thank you very much for the encouraging word regarding the budget. One of the improvements we're going to make, hopefully next year, because we need to continue, is to start showing a budget by functions. Because at the moment, you can't get that. So things like, if you want to put your hand around what is the cost of the IANA function, you got to pick numbers from different things. But from next year, hopefully, we will be able to start with some critical functions and begin to show those so that the community has total visibility on those critical functions.
And sorry for talking so much, but Chuck again. And again, that's an example of the collaboration. The comments that have come in have suggested we need a functional analysis of the budget, a functional background. So here we have another live example that collaboration is working very well. And if we go to the cost-benefit analysis, another example. The registries in our comments suggested, and we've done it in the past, others have too, that there needs to be more of that. Now, I have to qualify that because I don't know what's going on internally within ICANN in terms of cost-benefit analysis. And I think Xavier has indicated to us that there is that going on, okay? But we don't have visibility into that, so we can't tell. But in response to our comments, first of all, in response to everybody's comments, the finance team, and probably more than the finance team, responded to every comment with what's happening. This happens to be an area that's going to take a lot more work. So plans are in place. Xavier, I know, has talked to us as registries since we submitted that comment. And we're going to be working together collaboratively to start working on what that means from a community perspective and how we can collaborate further on that.
Great. Thank you very much, Chuck, and everybody for the contributions to this discussion. I want to note that we have just about 6 minutes left in this session as scheduled. We started a few minutes late, so we may have a little bit of flexibility, but we're moving to wrap up fairly soon. We're not going to talk about IANA transition and ICANN accountability by choice, but I do, there'll be plenty of time to talk about both down the road, right? This is a new format. I wanted to give the opportunity for others in the room, if they have a thought about the topics that we've discussed, to come to the table and voice their opinion. I want to make sure this isn't viewed as just a select group of people talking at each other, as opposed to having a true community engagement. So, 6 minutes left on the topics that we've discussed. Mr. Nevitt.
Thanks, Keith. One suggestion. I know Fadi, you asked for suggestions on the data breach. We were probably the largest victim of the data breach. We had our financial data reviewed numerous times, dozens of times. We had our relative net worth of our TLDs reviewed. So it was very damaging information. So and I appreciate Akram and his team and Ashwin and his team. Response. I got a phone call right away. Regular communications. One thing I would do differently is we wanted to know right away who saw the data, and they wanted to go through the process of contacting those people first for whatever reason. So we were in the dark for a number of weeks of who saw the data, and that was troubling as we were going to auctions in that interim period as well. Second point is just like Rom and Fadi said, there probably will be future incidents. I think we need to be extraordinarily careful about what data you have. So if you're asking for proprietary data, make sure that it's absolutely necessary that you have that, you hold it, you maintain it. Otherwise, you know, maybe we sign an acknowledgement of what you're trying to show by getting that data, or maybe you do a quick audit or something where someone sees it but doesn't keep it and retain it, because just like you said, we might be in a situation again that there's some kind of breach and important data is shared publicly, and we want to avoid that at all costs. Thank you.
Thank you, John. I agree with both points you make. And in follow-up to my colleague's suggestion, Ram, I think I'm going to ask Akram, who had gathered an internal team to deal with this particular situation, to regather that team, which includes people from communications, IT, etc., and have a one-time project to sit down with the registry group in this case, and to indeed actually look at the specifics of how we communicated things, why we communicated them in a certain way, and how we could have done better. So let's make a lesson learned out of that, and then let's share it with the registry community so everyone knows what we've done. You have my commitment on that, and let's not delay this too much since it's still fresh in our mind. As to why we didn't tell you right away who looked at what, it's because we didn't know, in the sense that we needed to do a thorough investigation of every record to know exactly who saw what when, and we had external investigators doing that to ensure that it's not just my staff telling me this. They were briefing me on this as they went, but frankly, there was just a little bit of care that we don't name someone or name something that was seen and it turns out to be not correct. As you know, John, that can get us into different kinds of difficulties. But nonetheless, let's review it. Let's make sure we did everything possible to keep you fully informed when we could, and if not, we will fix it.
Okay. Thank you, Fadi. Thank you, John, for the specific examples. It was very constructive. Would anybody else like to speak? Any other comments or questions about these topics? Feel free to come up. You are invited. Come on down. All right. Anybody else at the table? Any other wrap-up comments? Steve, could I hand it back over to you?
Thank you very much. Just repeating what we said before, the format here was intended to pre-select a small set of topics and to go into some depth on that. I think we did that for sure. We're looking for feedback on the content and on the format, and we'll be taking that and using that to adjust or retain what we've done here today. Thank you very much. Usually I'm more animated, but this is the first one after lunch, but I'll wrap it up for the next one if you want to stay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Steve.
Away from another one.
Thank you.
Yeah,
good,
thank you.
Good. The,